Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, Doug. Doug, a very good morning to you. How's everything going?
It's playoff football. It's got to be great. That just raises the level up a notch or two.
Before we get into those playoff games, let's talk some front office stuff that you're very familiar with. Some news. Adam Schefter is pushing forward right now that the Bears are requesting permission to interview Steelers Vice President Omar Khan for their GM job, per a league source. How's this process go? Will the Steelers just grant that permission? And also, do you think that – what does this say for the prospects of because I think Brandon Hunt should get Kevin Colbert's job. But, like, what's the lay of the land with all of this?
Well, lay of the land is I would foresee them granting him permission unless the only reason I would see they not grant him permission if they say, we're not going to grant permission, but here's the plan going forward for you. And that's the only way I could see that happen. Now, the lay of the land and how it goes is what you want to do is for the general manager search, a lot of it's going to be, and I hate to say it, it's just the way the world is, agent-driven, an agent push, which agents put names to media. The media starts saying this person should be out there, this person should be there. And that's when you get, especially when you have search firms leading that aren't really in the nitty-gritty of what it takes to be a GM or who they should look at, they're going to go with the hot names and stuff. Now, the second part of it is, okay, what do you want? Do you want a traditional scout GM to lead your team, or do you want more of that cap business guy to lead your team? And it's funny because I was reading a story the other day about GM hires and how the prevalent thought is you need a guy that was a scout. But if you look at the stats, and I hate to say this because I don't have it in front of me, but it is the teams that are led by cap guys actually have better results than the ones that are led by traditional. Now, there's more, so the sample size is a little bigger, but if you look at Mickey Loomis at New Orleans, Brandon Bean at Buffalo, and Howie Roseman at Philly, if you take that, their success, it's on a greater scale than the ones that are leading by traditional.
But does one football guy trump all of that in New England?
One football coach.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying?
You know what trumps all of that? One goat. The quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who finds him as long as you find him.
Exactly. As long as you have him on the team.
Well, that being said, in your opinion then, forget the numbers and the story that you read. In your opinion, what do you think works best? Is it got to be a football first guy or a numbers first guy?
I'll say this, and we were talking before. I was a GM, obviously, and then I went and I was the senior vice president of football operations of XFL. If I would have had that experience of being a senior vice president of football operations and building a league where I was on it, I was exposed to everything from helmets and the three different types of helmets and what goes in the helmets. And if you put it in a helmet, something that's not, then it validates the warranty. I mean, it doesn't validate it. It makes the warranty null and void. Knowing stuff like that and then adding my background as a scout, I would have been a way better general manager, all the way from when you go to a hotel on the team hotel, you've got to worry about the IT. I mean, this is getting run down, but in the contract, they can charge you $20,000 a day just to hook up to their servers. So things like that, that as a GM, you walk in, you get your key and you go in a hotel, you don't worry about all that planning and stuff, but that's the type of stuff building an organization. And for me, and a lot of people think general managers are just picking the best players, in which I thought we did a good job, but it's about building organization. That's where those cap guys, they have that global macro view of the organization, not just the football team.
Since a couple of my questions with Mike Tomlin didn't get anywhere yesterday, I'll hit, what about you?
What about me?
Yeah.
I'm out. You got to look at it. Look at all those, the names that are, it's another wave. I caught my wave of young, up-and-coming personnel people. I rode that wave. I was blessed enough to get that. Now it's for another group. It's another young group. Now, if someone said, hey, Brandon Hunt gets it, or somebody that I worked with, or I hopefully I try to mentor some guys, and they say, I want you to be a senior advisor, like I did with Ronnie Hughes, that was with the Steelers for a long time. When he retired from the Steelers, I was like, come with me, man. I need a sounding board. Then I would entertain it, but I'm having a really good job. Come on, guys. Were you trying to kick me out of here?
Right.
Come on, fellas. Well, I know. I thought we had something good going here.
I mean, you could do both, much, right? You could do both.
It's yes. 908. Yeah, if you do.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's how it's going to work, actually. Yeah. We're telling you that. It's in your contract. If anybody gets the GM job, they have to come on with us at 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Favorite time of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's 9:09 and a good time for an insurance checkup by the Buell Insurance Agency. All right, let's nail this down just a little bit more, though. Because Brandon Hunt has done a lot of different things. He's done pro scouting. He's done college scouting. He's dealt a little bit with contract stuff. Because that's a hot name here, and he's come through the system in totality. Why would Brandon Hunt be a good general manager for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think, in my opinion, if you look at the Steelers and what they really put their heart behind is continuity and familiarity. And with him being there, being as an intern under me and training under there, but also having going to Houston and having another perspective of how things are done and to come back. And then when it comes down to it, it's the ability to work with the coach, because that GM and the head coach have never been linked in such a way than they are now in the construct of an organization. He knows what Tomlin wants, knows how Tomlin works, and can anticipate what Tomlin. So Tomlin doesn't have to educate a new GM here and say, hey, this is how we do it. This is the Steeler way. He knows it. So for me, if I'm Art, I'm going to promote both of them. I'm going to have Omar and Brandon split the duties of what Kevin did, or a traditional GM, and have them grow. And then you can have those guys not only as long as Tomlin's here, but when Tomlin goes, then they can bring in one of their own coaches, and then it's just a seamless transition, in my opinion. That's
where does Danny Rooney fit in this mix? Because you know that he's going to be elevated at some point, right?
Yeah. Then he's right under. That's where he starts learning under Omar, and then ultimately becomes the president. And when Art starts to fade away,
do you anticipate there's any way they would not go in house? Once Kevin retires.
No, there's a definite possibility, and I talked about this when they hired Tomlin, because Tomlin was outside of the organization. Wisenhunt was the odds-on favorite. So they may go in and they'll do a search, and that's why they've been successful. When they go into a search, coach's search, any search there in that organization, they go in with an open mind, not with any preconceived notions of who they want or what they want. They want to see what the best candidate is out there. So that could be a possibility. But right now, without knowing the candidates, I would just put them as odds favorite.
You know, you said something, and this is true, obviously, that Brandon has worked with Mike Tomlin, knows what Mike wants, know what Mike likes. Would it behoove them, however, to bring somebody in as an outside voice that doesn't, and I don't want to say has to disagree with everything, but just somebody that has a different viewpoint of, you know, you guys have been doing it like this, but maybe you should think about doing it like that.
There's some merit to that, but I would say that no, because I hate to say it. Yes, there's some merit to that, but I would say knowing your coach, especially as a personnel man, the way I looked at it and the way I was taught from Kevin Colbert, from the end of the season to camp, the personnel people take the lead in the organization, and coaches come in supportive role. Once camp starts, it's all the head coach and the coaching staff, and then personnel comes in as a supporting role. So it flips. Now, an outside voice, yes, it could bring in new ideas and new ways to look at it, but what is the core? And this is where I said last time, this is when Art needs to put that stamp on the organization. And here's another decision that he's going to start saying, this is my team, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what. So when he establishes that, then get that best person to enact what he wants to do, that culture and that identity under Art. And if it's someone from the outside, they just, everybody's got to be on the same page. That's all. You can't have someone with a different agenda. And that's one of the reasons why I think they like to stay in-house, because there's no agenda in Pittsburgh except to win.
If I were to tell you, though, because you know, right? And in full disclosure, I know him too. But if I were to tell you, forget about the experience with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. Brandon Hunt would be a good GM for your football team, no matter what it's named, because he brings you this. And forget about because he was an intern here and all that. What does he do football-wise that you like?
He understands how to construct a team. There's a difference between scouting and identifying good players and then being able to construct a team. Because you don't always have to have great players to have a great team. If you look at New England, they had, yeah, the GOAT, but before he started really taking over the team, they had a great team. Their defense was a great team. They had a nice offensive line.
And you plug in some Division III lacrosse player,
yes,
and go,
exactly.
Where the hell did this guy come from?
Exactly, because you have a great team. So one of the things that I struggled with in my tenure, every 2 years we were changing coaches. So I had to get players that transcended any type of systems. So I had to get great players. I couldn't build a great team because I didn't know. We went from a 4-3 to a 3-4, back to a 4-3. We went to different offensive systems. So you're like, okay, I don't know who's going to be playing, but I know a Shady McCoy can play in any system. Mm-hmm. I know a Marcel Darius can play in any system. So you just got to get good players. So, but again, in a system that there's people, there are organization there that's been continuity, Brandon knows how to build a good team.
I want to ask you about one guy in particular and the job he's done this year and how you'd evaluate it. We'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit of Chiefs Steelers specifically and how aggressive maybe the Steelers are this offseason. We'll push beyond just this weekend's game and whatever may remain of the playoffs as well. Hey, real quick, to kind of put a button on the Omar Khan, Brandon Hunt conversation we were having, somebody texted in, Doug, is there anybody else you know that has what sounds like co-GMs? Is that what you're describing, like co-GMs in that role? And does anybody else have a successful situation like that right now in the league?
I would say if you look at Buffalo, I mean, mm-hmm. Brandon Bean, anyone where you have a cap guy as the GM, they're going to have such a strong personnel guy. Mickey Loomis has Jeff Ireland, that was the ex-GM of the
Dolphins.
Yeah. There. Howie Roseman has Andy Weidel, Pittsburgh guy, Mount Lebanon guy, came up under the Steelers as his personnel guy. And then Brandon Bean has Joe Shane as his personnel guy. So you do have that split.
So it's not co-GM in title necessarily.
No. But just in duties, absolutely.
What'd you think of Ron Cook yesterday, by the way? We were texting about this.
Jacked.
In a Bills jersey, too.
Oh, yeah. I'd say this much. I want to grow up to be like him. If I look like him at his age, I'm doing something right, man. I'm telling you this much. I'm sure he's getting a lot of people sliding into his DMs.
He is. And in fact, if you listen to the last hour of the show, there's a young lady who has an interest in Ron. Should Ron entertain offers? He's single. Should he go out? How would you play it if you're Ron and you have somebody say, hey, Ron, I'd like to have a drink with you or whatever, and you're in his position? How'd you run that?
I would run it this way. I'd be like, absolutely, but no pictures.
Oh,
no paparazzi.
No paparazzi. I'd have to put it on the down low.
Keep it on the low low.
Yeah, I'd have to find some place that, as we say, that's in the cut, so we wouldn't have.
You wouldn't be like Kodak Black out in the press box. Did you see that last night?
No.
Do a search. He was at the Florida Panthers game, and he had. There was nonsense happening.
Nonsense?
Yes.
Hold on.
Sent me something with Kanye West, AB, and two ladies. I didn't really read it, but that was, yeah, they were together at dinner.
Uh-huh. No, you've got to find the other one, Chris. Not the one that's, you got to find the zoomed in one.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Not from across the stadium. There's a much better one.
Okay.
Anyway, so if you're Ron, what you would say was no pictures. We just need to have a nice.
Yeah, don't let anybody know. Don't put it on social media or anything. Let's see how it goes first, and then we could let the world know.
This is way more intriguing than the Steelers general manager stuff or the NFL player.
Here's the question.
Who's going to be, real quick though, in all sincerity, and we get on the other side of this, if Kevin does retire, mm-hmm. who is going to be the next Steelers general manager?
I don't think they'll be a general manager. Okay. I think they won't name, they won't put that title on someone. I think they will, what, they'll put a VP of football operations or a director of football operations, which Kevin was before he got named GM. And then I think they will have someone grow into that title. So I
but
don't,
doesn't I, look, I don't, maybe it doesn't mean as much in football as it does in like the business world, but like, it, does the title matter? Do you know what I mean? Like, if Omar
they changed
is,
it because the college kids didn't understand what a director of football operations was. Well, and, that was and, what we were
well,
told
don't
anyway.
Draft that kid.
And I just mean so far in so much as, hey, I'm Omar Khan. I'm VP of football and business administration. I'm Brandon Hunt. I'm director of football operations.
If it means that much, then that they're not Steeler people.
Yeah.
If you need to have that title to feel you bring worth to an organization, you're not a Steeler person. That's what I would say.
All right, Doug Whaley, throughout the duration of this hour, we'll get back in. Let's get into these playoffs. Let's get into some other things, NFL league-wide. There's lots on the table we need to get into, and that's all next right here, Fan Morning Show.
Doug Whaley in studio with us for the entire 9 o'clock hour every Wednesday. Wednesdays with Whaley, the former Bills GM, gives us his insights. Before we get into these wild card matchups, we discussed it earlier in the week, and I think it's a discussion people have had throughout the week and will continue to have even after this weekend. Is this the best or one of the best coaching jobs Mike Tomlin has done in his tenure with the Steelers?
I wouldn't say the best. I'd say one of the best. I think when you take a third string quarterback that's not in the league and go 8-8,
yeah,
I think that I think it's hard for me to trump that, especially when you look at this year when you have a guy. Think about this. You have T.J. Watt. We don't need to talk with superlatives of how good he is. But if you think about this, he became the defensive player of the year and tied the sack record. And it's not like we were always – they were ahead of, on a lot of games where people had to throw. So he was coming through on non-pass situations and dominating stuff. And then when you look at Ben, everybody's like, oh, he's washed up. But some of those throws he made, especially when you needed them most – think about this. If you're – Indianapolis Colts, and you have Carson Wentz, and you're like, we need you to win one game against the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars, and you come out and play like that, then you look at a guy like Ben, when we need you to win in Baltimore, which is a better team than Jacksonville, and he takes you to not only tie the game, but to win the game, that's the difference.
Then what's the game plan this weekend against Kansas City? You know, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, you can only, and I don't want to, and this is probably the wrong way to phrase it, but you can probably only control how much you can do on defense and what they do on offense against this football team. Like, they probably are going to be able to do a little bit of what they want to do when they have the football. It's a matter of limiting them and hope they have a miscue here and there.
Right.
But if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and let's say that Najee Harris is pretty good to go, then what do you do offensively? Do you try to match them? Do you say, hey, maybe we'll try to score with them even though we haven't scored all year? Do we sit on it? Do we try to run it even though our offensive line hasn't been good? Like, what's the offensive game plan? That's the one thing I can't come to any sort of decision on here.
And people are going to hate it. And I would say run the ball and take those dink and dunks. Two things are going to happen there. You're going to eat up clock, keep them off the field, their offense off the field, and you're going to hopefully try to get in some type of rhythm. Because if you look at it, everybody talks about why do the Steelers do so much better in the second half? Because what happens is the first half, these coaches come in with game plans. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And some of it doesn't work, and a lot of it doesn't work. They'll go into halftime and say, okay, out of that game plan, give me two things that we do that can combat what they're doing. They simplify it, dumb it down, and let the players go out there and play instead of sitting there and try to put them in position to be successful. Go out there and do what you guys do, and that's why they're better in the second half.
Shouldn't adjustments be more instantaneous, though? And I know we're all looking for immediate gratification here, but with all the technology that's available, you see him sitting on the bench, looking at the Surface Pro, all this other stuff. I mean, shouldn't the adjustments be done on a quicker basis?
No doubt about it. And that's why you say, what are the coaches doing? Yes, you're putting this game plan together, but don't be so stubborn and stuck with it to say, oh, well, we got to keep on. It's going to work. It's going to work. Let's keep hammering it. Keep hammering it. No. Adjust on the fly. And that's the best thing that – think about it. If you look at Belichick, that's what he does, and that's what separates him. And he even does it in season with his game, with his team and their identity. He can adjust to whatever team they're playing.
Is Matt Canada the offensive coordinator of this team whenever they go to Latrobe or whenever they start camp or whatever? You tell me. Yeah, no, I know you've not been a fan of Matt Canada to start with. You didn't like his hire. But here's this argument from some people. Well, Ben's going to be out the door. They're going to have a new general manager, and it's at least fair to the guy to allow him an opportunity with different personnel to see what he can do. I'm not saying that's my argument. No. I'm saying that's an argument that's out there.
And my counter to that is I was against the hire because I don't see anything in his resume to say he deserves a shot over somebody else more qualified. And I don't mean as a football mind, as in what has he done? Again, take that 1 year away from Pitt. What has he really done to say, I'm kind of excited about this? And everybody says, well, he's got this system that needs a running quarterback. Well, everything I've seen, the systems he's run, he's never had a super mobile quarterback. So where is this? That's all I'm saying. Just give me something to hang my hat on, and I'll get behind it. Now, I'm a Steeler fan. I hope the best for him, and I hope he does grow into this. But I just don't see the resume.
Do you worry? I worry about this, that getting into the playoffs, and certainly if they should pull off an upset over the Chiefs, that it will cause them to avoid as much change as is necessary this offseason. They'll effectively look at themselves and say, well, we made the playoffs, or, oh, we upset the Chiefs. You know, will they become too content when in reality they should look at themselves as what they are, which is a 9-8-1 team that barely skated in?
They were allowed in. Like you said, they didn't skate in. Someone says, here, Carson Wentz said, you know what? Go ahead, Steelers. I don't want it. Right. Go ahead. Go in. That would be a disservice to the organization, to the Rooney family, the investors, and the fan base. I always say study the stats. When you're the 32nd ranked run defense, you can't go in and say, we're good just because we had some success. And when you look at your scoring offense, you're like 21st. You cannot. Something has to change.
When you're 32nd in run defense and 21st in scoring offense, and you're 7-9-1 going into the offseason, you're much more embracing of, well, we got to make these wholesale changes. DC's out. OC is going to be changed. You make bigger changes than if you're 9-7-1 and somehow get into the wild card role and maybe even pull off some otherworldly upset, and you've got the 21st scoring defense and the 32nd run defense.
No, because let's say if you were 9-7-1 and you finished a year on a 6-game winning streak, then you got me. You got me there. Absolutely. Oh, well, then they're hitting their stride. They finally figured out something and they're going in the right direction. That's not this team. That's not what happened here.
No, that's Miami when they fired the coach.
to go right there, then you know right there, and this is what, from a media standpoint, everybody's like, what's going on? If you read what Ross said, and obviously it's nothing on the field, it's something in-house. There was something that he was doing in that building that turned the ownership and everybody in that building against him, no matter what happened on the field. Because in his press conference, Ross was saying, we need somebody that can be collaborative, that can work with people, that has in all of that stuff. It wasn't anything about on-the-field performance. So you know it was something Bill Belichickian that he was trying to pull off. Just didn't fly.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about some of those openings that are out there around the league now after Black Monday a couple days ago. As we push forward with Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour, we'll also touch on those wild card games this weekend in addition to Steelers-Chiefs. It's all coming up on the Fan Morning Show.
This is unbelievable. Dennis Rodman's doing Planet Fitness commercials?
Oh, yeah?
Planet Fitness commercials? And Dennis Rodman.
Judgment-free zone. Yeah. There you go.
I know. He's as jacked as Ron Cook.
I saw him the other day.
You won't quit with this. You are jealous of Ron Cook.
Absolutely, I am.
You go to that place, you work out like 8 days a week, and you came in today, and all you wanted to talk about was Ron Cook's buys and his tries and his traps. He looked like Poznanski.
I want his workout program. I'm telling you. Whatever he's doing, why wouldn't we mimic it? I'm telling you.
Doran frickin' Dickerson wore that jersey in NFL games, and Ron's
busting out
of it.
He was.
With no pads on.
Looked like it was painted on, Ron.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so jacked.
Unbelievable.
It took three people to get it off of him. Three equipment guys.
Only thing would have been better is, you know how those guys in cold games, they used to wear, like they get their biceps all greased?
Yes. Yeah, Vaseline.
Vaseline. put some Vaseline on Ron.
And not just that, Vaseline him up and then put a wristband up on his bicep.
Yes.
To show it. To have
absolutely.
It just
make it
pop,
pop
out
just a little bit.
Yeah.
give him a neck roll.
Yeah, he's going to come in today with a freaking cowboy collar on. Rocky Kalmus or whatever.
Old Sasky.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Goodness. All right, what's going to happen in these games this weekend, Doug?
All right.
well, let's start on Saturday.
Let's do that.
Let's go one by one in chronological order. Vegas, Cincinnati, Saturday afternoon.
I'll tell you this much. In my opinion, Cincinnati's better team, but as young as they are, as young as their coach is, and the lack of experience in the playoffs, even though Vegas isn't great, I think what they did to get in, they're going to carry that momentum. Mm. And the Raiders are going to win. What's the line, though? If we want to,
what is the line? Thanks.
Oh, I don't have it in front of me.
No, I don't know. But you think the Raiders? I think the Raiders.
Back to that though.
Yeah. What about playing for? Was it just nonsense that anybody even thought about that those teams were going to tie at the beginning to start that game? And when you got deep into that game, would there have been any communication over from one sideline to the other and say, hey, what do we think about here? Or is that just
– No. You couldn't do the communication.
You do exactly what you just want to do, and if it ties, it ties.
Now,
tell me about it.
I will say this, and if you listen to the Raiders coach, they would have settled for the tie, but Brandon Staley cost them that game, cost them getting the playoffs by calling the timeout. And then there obviously the defense didn't stop the run, but there was no communication right there because if that – and especially in this world, that would have got out. And if that gets out, both teams would have been fine. They probably would have had suspensions because that hurts the integrity of the NFL.
So you think the Raiders catch a young Bengals team unawares somewhat in the
riding that wave of that, and then galvanized from everything they've gone through, playing for the coach, hopefully to get him the head job.
Saturday night up in Buffalo, the real field temperature, they call it, the wind chill is going to be like 5-10 below. Patriots Bills Part 3. What do you think
part
we get?
Part 3. From listening to the radio coming in, it's going to be single digits, possible snowstorm. Bills struggle against the run, the power running game. I'm seeing that same game plan from New England.
Three passes.
Uh-huh. And they will not be able to stop the run. Give me New England.
Well, let's talk a little deeper about that, though. Mm-hmm. When you have a play, whether it's a playoff game or a regular season game that means a lot, and they all mean a lot, there's only 17 of them. What does Buffalo do that's an advantage from a logistics standpoint that they can do, whether it's more heated seats, whether it's a locker room that's different? Like, do they have an advantage at their home games whenever it's freezing cold over the other teams or not? Can you build one in?
Not division teams because they're so used to going in there. They play there every single year. Non-division teams, you're going to come in and you're going to be like, what in the world? Just like when I moved there, I'm like, Buffalo, I can't be that bad. It's Pittsburgh. I mean, it's 3 hours away. What are you talking about? No, it's bad.
Different.
It is. And a lot of it's really just the wind and being able to navigate that with kicks, punts, passes. And that's where it gets the most difficult because once you get out on the field, yeah, it's cold, but anybody that's been on a field or in a competitive situation, you start zoning out. You don't feel any of that stuff. But it's the other elements that you have to that go and come into play.
If the Pats go in and beat the Bills again the way they did on that Monday night game, that's a huge indictment of Sean McDermott for not being prepared for that again.
Right. But if you look at it, where'd he come from? NFC South with Drew Brees, Matt Ryan. So his background is building defenses to stop quarterbacks in the pass, not the power running game. And if you look at their like Ed Oliver, he's 290, 280. They thought he'd be the next whoever, but no. He's not built to play the run, especially power running.
Eagles have a chance in Tampa?
Yes, because of Tampa's injuries. Think about that. They're decimated in the secondary and in the receiving core. I think, and the Eagles can run the rock and keep it out of Brady's hands. I think they have a chance.
I think Sirianni's come a long way from a guy everybody made fun of at his opening press conference to right now, and I think he's actually a pretty good football coach, even though they were like 9-8 this year. I think he's pretty good.
I think, yes, because what he's doing is I think he made a major switch when he came off to that rocky start and saying, all right, let's protect our young quarterback and let's do what we can do best, and that's run the rock. And running the football, playing good defenses, not turning the ball over, are from the annals of history of football, are the reasons why you win. The only reasons you don't win are the excuses you come up for not doing that.
Right. A punt's not always a bad thing.
No.
It's an okay thing every once
in a while.
Even
in this world of analytics.
Right, yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
It's not a bad thing.
Cowboys Niners is only a 3-point game. Does that make sense? Cowboys just only favored by 3?
I think it makes sense because of the ability for the Niners to run the ball. I just like the Cowboys. I like the way they're doing. I like the balanced rushing attack. I like Dak, and I love their defense. I just like them. But San Fran's playing hot. They are. They're very hot. But I'd have to go with Dallas.
What's your opinion and the opinion from people you talk to around the league of having a Monday night wild card game? It would be the Cardinals and Rams.
As a fan, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if I was involved in it, I would hate it because whatever team you have, they're going to be on a short week. And you don't want to have that competitive disadvantage with so much at stake.
They've got to make that winner the last Sunday game, right? Like, there's no way around that.
I mean, we say that, but then we've seen – I mean, we've seen them have no compunction before about handing teams short weeks, even in the playoffs. I mean, if all the favorites win in the NFC this weekend, the winner of that game, the Rams, would be headed to play in Green Bay.
Correct.
On a short week.
And then you're traveling.
Against the team with a bye.
With a bye. So – yeah, that. Now, granted, we say that, but everybody in that league, that especially those playoff teams, are looking at increased playoff bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's all right.
We'll do what we got
to
do.
And the owners are looking at, oh, my valuation just went from $2.5 billion to $2.8 billion because of that play. I'm all right with it.
I'll live with it. Yeah. What's the best opening out there? Miami, Minnesota, Denver, Jacksonville, Giants. Am I forgetting anybody?
I would say I was on with Solomon Wilcox at Sirius Radio Opening Drive today, and I would say this. I would say Jacksonville one because when you build from a GM standpoint, the first thing you think about is building your team to win the division. And out of all those teams that are open, the one that I think has the easiest path to win the division is Jacksonville because you got Tannehill. That's the most marquee quarterback in that division,
right?
And I don't think you can consistently put the team on his back. Now, Derrick Henry's there, but I just don't see that running back and his running style being there for a long time. So you have a quarterback, you have a first-round pick, you have foundational pieces on defense. They just need to put some weapons around them. But guess what? First pick overall and $72 million in cap space.
It's a lot to work with.
And you could get some free agents, perhaps. I mean, it's not you're not sending them to Buffalo.
Yeah,
you know, it's a nice place.
Think about this. Florida. No state income.
Right. Yeah.
As long as the owner stays out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as that happens.
So Doug, that would be one for me.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you coming in every Wednesday for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Doug Whaley, former Bills GM. And Wednesdays with Whaley, a weekly occurrence. They'll continue throughout the playoffs as well.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.